Blog Talk Radio.
Garage Talk Live.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me double tight desire.
First thing in the afternoon and a little fuel, huh? Metallica. Love that song. Anyway, we got a jam-packed show today. We're covering wrap-up of Texas Motor Speedway. We're going to preview Bristol. But first, I want to welcome to the show a very special guest, the new first-timer to Garage Talk Live. Somebody who actually was racing in some of my old stomping grounds. We'll get to more of that in a minute. But I'd like to welcome to the show, Lexi Gay. Lexi, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, you know, doing a motorsports type of talk show there and seeing like this page, like that page. All right, let me check this person out, check that person out. And I'd like to have everybody on as a that I can, and usually when they come on the show, they seem to have a good time, so hopefully you'll have a good time and you'll come back in the future.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, being I'm introducing you to my audience, I see that you're in the Wheeling All-American Series, and what got you started in the racing stock cars?
So I actually started out in a Bandolero car at Atlanta Motor Speedway, just kind of for fun. My older brother kind of raced quarter midgets when he was younger and kind of did that whole thing for fun too. And I kind of didn't really have an interest for a while. I was always like, you know, the supportive younger sister. So I liked going to the racetrack with him and having fun. So whenever I turned about 12, I got introduced to the Bandolero cars, and one of our friends was like, you know, you can just like test drive one and see if you like it. And I was like, oh, really? So I kind of like tried it out. And ever since then, I've like been in love with race cars and just everything about the sport and NASCAR. So I started racing those when I was 12 and then moved up into full-size limited late models when I was about 14, 15 and started racing late model stocks last year.
Now, last year, yeah, I guess you had a bit of a rough season, but fortunately for you, you're back this season. You have a, let's plug your sponsor, Gordo's cheese dip and salsa. It's very rare to have somebody has a sponsor on their car at a young age in a, we'll say, and a young series, that's not a young series, a series like that where, you know, people are just trying to grow into the sport. So you've actually landed on something there.
Yeah, so I'm a grassroots racer. I do not come from a whole lot of money like a lot of these drivers do. No disrespect towards them, but I just don't come from that. So if I want to race, I have to work hard for marketing and sponsorships. So that's what I've done. Since day one, when I got into Bandoleros, I actually got a full title sponsor throughout all of my Bandoleros with a local company in Atlanta. But then when I moved into late models, I realized, you know, it's more expensive. You have to work harder. You have to show companies that you're out there and you're willing to do all the marketing behind the scenes for them. So I was able to get Gordo's Cheese Dip my rookie year in limited late models, and they are based out of Atlanta too. They're just kind of like a retail cheese dip, like your Mexican restaurant queso. So you can go to like your local grocery store and pick those up. But we kind of landed on them in the beginning, and they've been great to me since day one. And that's the reason why I'm able to race every year. And they're basically the company that keeps me in the seat. So I'm extremely thankful for a company like them that helps us young racers to, you know, just live up to our dream.
Well, I have heard the name, and so that's a good thing. But I haven't found them in this area yet, but that's never say never, but
yeah,
maybe I'm looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, they're working to, like, get more out towards, like, the West Coast. Right now they're really big in, like, the Charlotte, South Carolina, Atlanta area. They're all up through there, Tennessee. Like, those are their, like, main markets. Like, they're just huge down here. But they're working to kind of work across the U.S. They are out there, and so they do have, like, a little store locator on their website you may can check out, because I'm sure they're around there somewhere.
Well, see, I'm in southwestern Virginia, just about 90 miles north of Bristol and a little bit southwest of Martinsville. So, you know, Charlotte's about 3 hours to the south. Yeah, so I should look in Food City because, you know, they sponsor.
Oh, yeah, I know they are. Yeah, they are there because we do the Food City Bristol event every year. So we're actually going to be there. My sponsor will be there this week for all the Bristol stuff. So.
Uh-huh. So not only is it your debut, you're going to be in the local area. So.
Yes, I am. We just had our first race this past weekend. We were at Carteret County, and it's actually my first time there, and it was my first time. I just signed with Empire Racing. So, which is Richard Petty Development. So we just signed with them, and we had our first race this season. So we had a good time, you know. As far as the new track goes, I had a lot to learn and a lot to pick up. But my teammate, Thad Moffitt, I was able to really pick his brain a bit about the track and, you know, handling of the car. So we had a good first race to kind of start the year off and build from that.
Well, you finished seventh, so that is an amazing good first race with a new team, so.
I can't complain. We really wanted to do a little better, but.
Hey, if it's a track you've never been to, let me tell you a little story about that track. I never knew that track existed. I was in the Marine Corps from 76 to 80, and I was stationed down in Bogue Field, which is just up 24 north of where the Speedway is. There's like a big intersection where 58 and 24 meet there, and. So that track was not there when I was there, and then I was just down there last June for a reunion, and I'm watching Carteret County Speedway. Wait a second, that's ringing a bell. Another former guest of my show used to drive in the ARCA series, had raced there and was scheduled to race there the week after I was there. So I had wished maybe everything fell in a little place. Her name was Sarah Cornett-Ching. She finished like 7th or 8th in the ARCA series points, and she got a concussion and has to, I guess, start it back over, and she was, you know, back in the late models racing there. So I don't know if you're going to get to compete against her or what, but you never know. So
What's
I was wondering,
name?
You know, I told you, her name is Sarah Cornett-Ching. Cornett-Ching is hyphenated, but another young lady goes up and coming, and I always seem to get them on the show, and then they get famous and forget me. So, but
oh my goodness, you always have to remember where you came from for sure.
Yeah. So you're out of Georgia, so you went there. I mean, if you're going to race there again, go there in the summertime. Like, not like after the first week of August, though, because that's when hurricane season starts. And you don't want to be anywhere near the coast.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning. I live just north of Atlanta, so I'm like kind of just away from the city. And just hearing all them talk about like hurricanes up there by the racetrack, I was like, geez, that's like some serious stuff.
Well, yeah, that's just it. You're right on the coast there. It's a good place to go to the beach, too. Emerald Isle there, beautiful.
It's so pretty. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous there.
So you're with the Empire Racing is Richard Petty's. So I was wondering why your car looked like Richard Petty's car, and you got the number 44, I guess. Who got lucky and got the 43?
Right now, so Dad Moffat is his grandson. So right now, they're kind of keeping the 43 iconic. You know, nobody can really touch that number as far as the background and the stories on that. So I'm running the 44, and that's the 46. So, yeah, that's Richard Petty's driver development team. So they're a really great company. I got to know them at the end of last year, and they've just picked me up, and we've been doing great together. So I think we're going to have a good bond as far as the races go this year. It takes a lot to not only be able to drive the car and tell the team what you want, but to be able to mesh with your team. And that's like another family because you're on the road together all the time. And that's really important because you just really need to be close with your team. So some of these drivers I go to the racetrack and then kind of just leave and, you know, don't go to the shop. And it's like, I live in Atlanta and they're in Mooresville, North Carolina. And I get up there to the shop and hang out with them and kind of grow that bond with them. So it's really good.
Yeah, it is that way. And it just seems like as you develop a chemistry, that's how the team grows together. I mean, you look at some of the teams that I guess you're aspiring to reach, like when Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus were together for all those years, the 7 championships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham, for the most part, I think he had 3 with Ray, and then he had another one after with Robbie Loomis, but that was neither here nor there.
Right.
But, you know, what have you learned in the difference between what you're racing now and what you were in before you made the jump to the late models?
Well, we ran limited for a while, so really the only thing different there was they had some different tire rules and a carburetor change. But so I jumped to the late model stocks; they were just a little bit faster. They handle a little bit different, and we run stickers. But before I was, you know, running the Bandos, so that was a whole different ball game. You know, I didn't even have to shift gears or anything. You know, you just hit the gas pedal and go. It's just like a go kart. So that was a huge hop, but we tested kind of on the off season before I just started racing late model, so I could, you know, get a feel, jump into something we didn't really know what we were doing. So we did a lot of research on teams, and I've run with a couple different teams throughout the late model stuff. But now that we're kind of getting up there, we have a couple ARCA races this year, and we're testing at Nashville this month. So kind of looking forward to a different change and that kind of stuff too. Those cars are pretty cool. That's going to be totally different from the late models, but Dad's ran some races, so he's been helping me out.
Well, that's good. Well, let's let everybody know that you're still a very young person. You're not 20 years old yet.
No, I just turned 18 in January. So I got a little bit of a late start into racing. I know a lot of these, you know, other drivers have been racing since they were 7, 8 years old. So whenever I got in at 12, 13, we didn't really know what we were doing. So I had to figure out the trial and error whenever I first got started versus a lot of these people that come from racing and kind of know their way around the sport. So when we jumped into late models, I mean, we looked around for hours. My dad would spend late nights, you know, just looking up stuff about the car because we were setting up our own car in the beginning trying to figure out what we were doing. So we're just now kind of gotten on that path of, you know, we know what we're doing. We have our schedule. We know, you know, how racing works. In the beginning, we had some rough patches trying to figure out where our place was and just kind of, you know, how to race. Who everyone says, like, they're the greatest team you can run with, and you got to learn who you can trust and who you can't in the sport, which is unfortunate, but that's how it is. So, I just turned 18, so I'm not too old.
No, that's just it. And even though I think maybe starting it later, the learning curve might be harder, but you might be more dedicated into doing the work to get better, where I guess if you kind of start at a young age, like that. Some people burn out by the time they're your age now, so maybe that's a good thing, and you can appreciate more of what they're trying to show you.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I love this sport. I don't think we'll ever burn out of it, just because it's just like, it's just a passion to me. And it definitely starting, you know, at around 13, I was able to understand the marketing side of it and what I needed to do to you know, get companies to look at it at a different angle versus, oh, you don't just turn left and go 100 laps and you leave. Like, you actually get a lot of exposure from that. And, you know, it's been fun. I love marketing myself. My mom has a marketing degree, so she's taught me a ton, and she works her butt off trying to get everything lined up. But I love marketing just as much as I do racing, which I think is a great into both sides, you know, because if you don't have marketing, you're not able to race.
That's true, and that's a very good point that you just made. You got into marketing, and in this day and age, it used to be the owners got the sponsors, the drivers did their thing. Now, you pretty much have to bring that with you, so having that behind you and the experience in that is going to help you in the long
right.
run, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, it's just like it's unfortunate because back in the day, you know, it was all talent driven, and now it's talent, but you have to bring the money to the table. Like, you have to have that when you sign with the team. And it's not easy. I mean, it's hard to get sponsors. You get way more no's than you do your yeses, but you just have to keep pushing, because if that's what you want to do, like, you can get there. You just have to keep on keeping on, and you got to find the right groove for sure. And I'm super thankful for my family, and it's kind of where I come from. I'm super humble. I'm not like I have sponsors and we show up to the racetrack in a stacker. I'm not like that at all. So I'm extremely thankful for what I have.
Well, at least you appreciate that. And another thing, too, is, you know, being an outgoing person kind of helps your energetic and that kind of thing. So, maybe. And then, you know, your track record helps, too, when you start your first race in a new car, going, you're finishing seventh at a track you've never been to, as opposed to some you have been, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got talent as well. So,
yeah, it's been really fun. We've definitely picked up, I've learned a lot probably within the last year. Toyota picked me up at the end of last year, and I ran a lot of races out west with them. And I learned more within those months than I have anywhere, because they're just so attentive, and they just were great to me last season. So definitely taking what I learned from TRD and applying it to my other late model stuff has helped me greatly. So I'm just learning to where, like, if you go to a racetrack, but even if you go to the same racetrack for a year, you learn something new every time you get there. You never stop learning, especially about the track and the car.
Wow, that's true. Because, you know, track conditions are different from time to time. Like, just because you ran one in June, going back in August, it's going to be different, or October, it's going to be different.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, it changes. Like, even day to day, like, we tested this past Friday, and we ended the day great. I mean, we were pretty quick. And then we unloaded Saturday morning, and it was like, track was sandy, you know, it was just not what it was the night before. So you just kind of, you got to learn to adjust your car based on the track conditions. And a lot of people don't understand that, but it's important.
So your 44 car is a Toyota?
It's not. I just ran with Toyota end of last season. So I ran all of their stuff out west. So this year we kind of came back to my side of town and signed with our team we're running here at home.
Okay. I was just wondering what makes them. See, the place where I have my day job makes
mm-hmm.
suspension parts for Toyota. So we were like a manufacturer supplier. So
yeah,
I'm saying,
cool.
If you're going to be in the area this week, so that's going to be pretty neat.
Yeah,
and, we're only 90 miles up the road, but getting to the track now is going to be a little tough this week now because of, you know, scheduling and things like that. But that's pretty neat that you're
right.
You're learning the NASCAR Cup tracks, basically, if you're going to Bristol and some other places.
Yeah, Gordo's, they do a lot with NASCAR in general, so they do a lot of fans at events, and we're able to go out to the races, and, you know, even being at the racetrack, you know, you market with people, you meet new people, and you always got to look at it like, you know, it's a business. It's not just a sport, but it's a business.
Oh, that's for sure. And of all the tracks that you might want to race on? What are some of the ones you have, like, I can't wait to race there, or I can't wait to race there?
I'm honestly looking forward to this ARCA race at Nashville. I've never been to Fairground Speedway, and I have a friend that races there. He races all the time in late models. So I'm really looking forward to going there, especially not only like a new track, but in the ARCA car. That'll just be a whole fun new experience and see what we can learn out there. And we have some other races on our schedule. I'm trying to get out to Virginia to race some. I don't know if we're going to run like South Boston or, you know, some of the tracks up that way. So I'm really just looking forward to moving around. Last year, we didn't really do that as much. We kind of stayed around Greenville, South Carolina, and we went to Myrtle Beach, and that was pretty much it. So now that we're learning, you know, we need to venture out and, you know, hit all these different tracks. That's how you get the best experience. That's kind of what we're doing this year. So I'm really looking forward to the whole year. I haven't raced at that many racetracks. We've kind of stayed in the same area. So that's mainly what I'm looking forward to, is moving around.
Well, the thing is, too, the further you go out there, the more exposure you're going to get, and that's part of marketing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. You know, you got to get the word out, not only in the state of South Carolina, but people up north and across the U.S., you know, don't hear about you unless you're there. You got to be in front of them.
Do you do any dirt racing, or is it all asphalt?
No, it's all asphalt. I've always wanted to, like, try dirt out, you know, and see how it would go. I think it would be a blast. Like, I genuinely think it would be, like, a blast. But right now it's just all asphalt, so maybe we can get into dirt later in the year or something. I have a lot of friends that race dirt late models and sprint cars, so I've been to their tracks and watched. Every time I'm not racing, I'm usually at dirt track watching if I'm not, like, with my team, because I love dirt racing. So maybe we can try it out here soon.
Hey, why not? I mean, there's one of the places, the tracks out near me. It's called Wythe County Speedway. Jeffrey Earnhardt raced mm-hmm. there, and a lot of people test there when they go to Eldora for the truck series. So it's.
Oh, that's neat. I've always wanted to go to the Eldora race. I think that would be so fun.
Well, that seems like a fun track. Good old Tony Stewart owns that one, so maybe
mm-hmm.
you ought to set your sights on that as well. Any plans for any K&N East racing as well, or you just want to try to go to the ARCA?
Right now we're really just, like, looking at ARCA. We're doing, you know, of course, a full season of late models, but we're doing a partial season with some ARCA races just to kind of get my feet wet and, you know, start stepping into that. So we're not going to try to rush too much, but we're just looking into ARCA this year.
Well, baby steps, right?
That's right. You got to just take it how it comes. You can't throw yourself into what you know you're not ready for, even though it's a cool opportunity. You know, you have to think about where you're at as a driver.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's a couple of people that usually go to ARCA, you know, as they're moving up, lady drivers, young, you know, about mm-hmm. in your age group. Haley Deegan, who runs K&N West, is going to be running for Venerini Motorsports in ARCA for a few races. They seem to get pretty good drivers, though.
That. That's great.
And if you catch their eye, they might put you in a decent car there. So,
yeah, it'd be cool. I've always been interested in the K&N stuff, too. But we'll just have to see, you know, see what comes our way. Stuff changes throughout the year. And just hoping to see what opportunities we get.
Good to know. So, glad you had a decent time in Carteret County Raceway. And hope you have fun this week, coming week in Bristol. I better let
you
rock and roll. I think I had you on a good bit of time. Hope you enjoy your visit to Garage Talk Live, and hopefully you'll come back.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you.
All right. Take care now.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have Lexi Gay driving the Gordo's Cheese Dip number 44 for Empire Racing. Richard Petty's Development Series. Imagine that. I was wondering why the car looked like that. Anyway, it's talking to her, and hopefully she'll be back on. She's going to be in my neck of the woods, and she was in my old stomping grounds last week. Anyway. It's nice to see young people that have determination and drive. She is driving. Go to like her Facebook page, Lexi Gay Racing on Facebook. And check out the check her out. Or if you want to get some of her stuff, go to her website, which is LexiGayRacing.com. When we're 18 years old. Look for her to move up the ladder pretty good. She is a talented young lady and very articulate. You wouldn't tell by listening to her that she was only 18 years old. So good for her. Always a pleasure to have on young talent and then to keep an eye on her in the future. It's a pleasure meeting her on the show, and I will be in touch with her through her page, of course, and have her back on. Anyway, let's get into the fun stuff. It turned out to going to be a crazy weekend. Truck Series, Cup Series, and Xfinity Series, all in action, all at Texas Motor Speedway. So let's get to it. Well, the Truck Series race, only 147 laps long. And it was won by somebody who's been winning a lot this year in the Truck and Xfinity Series. Kyle Busch got his 55th victory in the Gander Outdoor Series, leading seven times for 97 of the 147 laps. And Stuart Friesen in the 52. She had the 51 first, the 52 in second, and the 13 in third. So the second digit of each driver finishing 1, 2, and 3 was 1, 2, and 3. Grant Enfinger kind of changed that. He was fourth. He started on the pole. Matt Crafton wound up in the fifth spot. Tyler Ankrum, the rookie, was sixth. Ross Chastain, seventh. Eighth, Tyler Dipple. Ninth, Brennan Poole. Ben Rhodes rounds out the top 10. We had 16 lead changes among six drivers, 9 cautions for 47 laps, 2 of those stage conclusions, so up that down to 7 incident cautions. There were average speed was 106.9, 2 hours, 3 minutes, 44 seconds, 1.269 seconds. So we're looking at about a 12 to 13 car length margin of victory between Busch and Friesen. Of course, Kyle can't run for points, and he can only run so many races in each series, so he might be tapping out there. It was his fourth top 10 in 2019. It's his fourth and ninth top 10 in 13 races at Texas in the Truck Series. Unfortunately for him, he can't run for championships because he probably will be the points leader in 2 of the 3 series. But as we look at the points, your top 8, which are your points playoff contenders. You only run 8 in the trucks. Stuart Friesen is your points leader. Grant Enfinger is second. Ben Rhodes is third. Johnny Sauter is fourth. Brett Moffitt is fifth. Matt Crafton is sixth. Austin Hill is seventh, and Todd Gilliland is eighth. Should the playoffs start next week, which they won't, Austin Hill, who has one win, would be the number one seed, even though he is 49 points behind the leader. So Kyle Busch, who actually has, and he can't run for points, so he's not even going to be listed in the points, but he has four wins this year. What's that tell you? But I think he can only run seven. None of them in the playoffs in the truck series, and five in the Xfinity series. So he's getting his out of the way early, and then off to plop somebody else in the truck. The highest finishing rookie was Tyler Ankrum. He finished sixth. So let's hear from our winner with his crew chief, Ryan Fugel, in the post-race press conference.
We are now joined by the winner of the Vancouver 350, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 51 Cessna Toyota for Kyle Busch Motorsports, along with crew chief Ryan Fugel. Congratulations, guys. Go ahead and open it up to media for some questions. If you have one, please raise your hand and we'll get to you. We'll go to Jerry and then over to Bob.
Maybe he wasn't strong enough up the track.
There was the 24 was able to use it really well. It just didn't seem like I tried to go up there a couple times, and I don't know that the VHT was much beneficial for my truck as much as it was maybe for the 24. Maybe he was a pitch better than us. I don't know. But overall, learned some things about our truck and what to do and things that we can do to make our team better and our equipment better. As far as for the rest of the weekend, my Xfinity car drives pretty good. Not worried about that. My Cup car is a problem right now, so we've got a lot of focus on that one.
That's here to Bob.
Bob Packer, Fox Sports. Kind of along those lines, Friesen thought that maybe you were able to use the VHT a little bit.
No, I was blocking. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I was. It was he'd get such a good run through 3 and 4 and down the front straightaway that you just had to use any means possible to just stay in front of him. And so there were a couple times there where he was really arcing out entry to one and being in the VHT, and then he would chop down through that and get to the bottom, and I'd enter low, I'd enter high, I'd enter all over the place, and it just seemed like I always ended up in kind of the same spot on center exit. So, it didn't much matter for me. I couldn't really feel – when I was in the VHT, I couldn't really feel a whole lot of effect from the VHT. It just felt like still the rest of the racetrack.
Are there any additional questions?
It's not very normal, no. Like, Bristol is the best place we got it. But past that, when we had it at Charlotte, I mean, it was like ice for a long, long time until it wears in and gets heat. And when you have cautions, as many cautions as we had, and as cold as it's going to be here the rest of the weekend, I don't know if it's going to activate. It takes heat to activate it. So it's a very complicated scenario with that stuff.
There you have Kyle Busch talking about his win at Texas and then be in Bristol shortly. As a matter of fact, the Food City – well, the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series will be in Bristol this coming week. Truck Series will be there in race. It's weird because Bristol being a half mile, you can only fit so much in the infield, so – the truck series comes in, runs on Wednesday or Thursday, and then gets out as the other series come in because they all park in the infield, and the garage areas don't have that much room. So got to figure a way to get them in there. Like Dover, you got a mile track, so you can fit all three series. You have the two main garage areas, and then further in the middle of the infield. You have the truck series or the K&N series, depends on what time of year you're running. Anyway, it's just kind of tight. Now the weather is going to be on the colder side, like he was saying. We're going down in the 30s at night, so going to get some warmer weather this weekend, but the local forecast for the race will probably hit tomorrow or Thursday. So it would be interesting to see how the traction is with the tires, like he was talking about. Let's move on to the Xfinity Series. Your pole sitter was Christopher Bell. He led four times for 127 of the 200 laps, but guess what? He did not win. Starter, driver of the number 18. You got it. Same guy that won the Truck Series race, Kyle Busch. Only led three times for 33 laps. It wasn't a dominating thing like in the Truck Series, but it's another win under his belt. Tyler Reddick. Finished second. Christopher Bell, your pole sitter, wound up third. Chase Briscoe was fourth. Jeb Burton, fifth. Michael Annette, sixth. Justin Haley, seventh. Jeffrey Earnhardt in the 81, which is the reverse of the 18. In the Extreme Racing Toyota. In eighth place for Jeffrey. Good for him. John Hunter Nemechek was ninth. Ryan C. rounds up to top 10. It was Kyle Busch's 95th victory in the Xfinity Series. The race took 2 hours and 32 minutes. Average speed, 118.5. Margin of victory, 0.861. A bit closer than the gap in the Truck Series, so but still, a victory nonetheless. Blessed. 11 lead changes amongst five drivers. 9 cautions for 50 laps. It was 9 for 47. 2 of those being stage conclusions, so 7 incident cautions. It was Kyle's third victory and fourth top 10 in 2019, so he has most of the wins in that. 3 years old. Man, he's 33 and got almost 100 wins in one series and 50-plus wins in two other series. His ninth victory and 17th top 10 in 21 races at Texas. These are racking him up. In the points, Tyler Reddick leads the points over Christopher Bell. Cole Custer's third, Michael Annette's fourth. All of them would probably move up in the seeding because they all have wins where Christopher Bell don't. Austin Cindric is fifth. Justin Allgaier sixth. Brandon Jones is seventh. Noah Gragson eighth. Ryan Sieg is ninth. John Hunter Nemechek is tenth. Chase Briscoe is 11th. And Justin Haley is in 12th. That there is the gap of the top 12, which is your playoff eligible contenders. 12 make it to the playoffs in the Xfinity Series. Ross Chastain is 13th. He is 10 points below the bubble. A win will get him in. So Kyle Busch has 3 wins, and then there's 3 out of 6 races, so they list him as points, but he can't compete in playoffs. So he only has a couple more races before he has to play spectator or and just concentrate on the Cup Series. That's NASCAR rules. They put limits on the Cup Series drivers driving in the lower tiered series, but it gives the younger guys a chance to take the trophy home instead of the same. I mean, look, Kyle Busch has won 3 out of 6 here and probably 4 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 in the Truck Series. So it's just that way that goes. Chase Briscoe is the 4th highest finishing rookie. I forgot to add that in the thing. Let's hear what Kyle Busch had to say on his Xfinity Series win, his 95th.
Joined by the winning crew chief of today's 23rd annual Mind Bariatric Solutions 300 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and it's crew chief Ben Bayshore, the number 18 IK9 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. We'll go ahead and open the floor up for questions. If you have a question for Ben, please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start over here with Jerry.
Hey, Ben. Jerry Fraley from the Dallas Morning News. What went into the decision to go with only fuel on the last stop?
Mostly, I mean, it's been a track position race all day. Us, the 20 car there, were virtually the same speed all day. We had trouble passing each other. You just get so aero tight, and with a sort of a short run there at the end and a lot of cautions coming after cautions, just wanted to get them out front quick, in and out of the pits as we could, and put them as close to the front as we could.
Go up the front here to Dustin. Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Ben, you've obviously worked with Kyle as an engineer and now crew chief, so you've seen him in a lot of different ways. Outside looking in, a lot of people look at the talent and recognize what he can do with the team. There's a lot of factors, but the driver still has to play a role. What are the things that he does that maybe people don't see or understand that you kind of know with working with him?
His work ethic. He studies a lot. He works a lot through the week, watches video, watches Dartfish if it's available, asks questions to us on certain stuff. We go back and forth on driver debriefs. You know, he does a lot of work through the week. He doesn't just show up and put the hammer down and go. And then, you know, him having laps in the Truck Series and having 5 or 6 shots at restarts there, you know, that all plays into the end of the race there where he knows what lane he wants to pick. He knows where the grip's at in the track, how far he can drive in, just those extra laps that he had on the track. And, you know, he puts in a lot of work, and it shows off. I mean, the expectations are high running for when he's in our car. So, you know, it obviously pushes us to give him the best car that we possibly can, because if we finish second, we know it's probably our fault.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Good luck next week.
Well, I guess they don't have Kyle Busch, so must have been out practicing. Usually they've been in a number of those press conferences over the years, so I kind of know how things work. Different tracks do it differently. But that's neither here nor there. Off to the Cup Series. We have one racing weekend left to go. Can Kyle Busch pull the sweep? The answer is no, not this time. He did lead 6 times for 66 laps, which was the most, but it was pretty balanced out. Jimmy Johnson was on the pole, led twice for 60 laps, so he led early on. But when all came down, the winner led 3 times for 45 laps, got 6 of the total 7 playoff points, winning stage 2, as well as taking the checker at the end of the race. And that was Denny Hamlin, still Joe Gibbs Toyota, not Kyle Busch, but they went in the Daytona 500, him and Kyle seem to be now in a battle for the top seed for the playoffs. Clint Bowyer wound up second. Daniel Suarez, another Joe. No, actually, no, it's not a Joe Gibbs for Toyota. I'm still confusing him with last year. It's a Stuart Haas Ford. So you have Stuart Haas in second and third. Eric Jones in fourth. So they're sandwiched by Denny Hamlin and Eric Jones, Joe Gibbs Toyotas. Jimmy Johnson, who led the poll, wound up fifth, which is his best run of the year. William Byron, who started second, was sixth. Eric Amarola, another Stuart Haas Ford, was seventh. Kevin Harvick, who I picked last week, wound up eighth. And Kurt Busch was ninth. And brother Kyle was 10th. Now, the thing of it is, Eric Amarola in the 10 is doing a lot better in that car than the last driver of the number 10 who retired after last year. Actually, the year before. So she's been out of this car for a year now, working on her second. This is Danica Patrick. So what's that say? Maybe Stuart Haas could find another young lady driver that has a little more talent. Danica was good at marketing, and she was out there with a GoDaddy and brought them big dollars with her. So she got the ride, and she got a ride from Junior Motorsports to get some stock car experience. But Eric Amarola been doing a whole hell of a lot better in that car. There were the average speed was in 153.2 mile an hour, 3 hours 16 minutes and 11 seconds for 500 laps. Margin of victory 2.74. So that's a pretty good gap there. Tenth of a second is a car length. So what's that tell you? It was Hamlin's 33rd in victory in 477 races, his second this year, his third in 27 races at Texas. It was Clint Bowyer's third top 10 in 2019, Daniel Suarez's first top 10 in 5 races at Texas. Ryan Preece was the highest finishing rookie, and Kyle Busch. When we get to the points, anyway, there were 27 lead changes amongst 13 drivers. 5 cautions for 29 laps, so 2 of those stage conclusions, so it was a pretty clean wet race. Kyle did scrape the wall while he was leading and cost himself a few spots. Denny Hamlin also was penalized for on pit road twice before coming back to win, so it was his day to have the luck go his way. Anyway, Kyle Busch leads Denny Hamlin in the points. Both have 2 race wins, so it's a tie-breaking situation using overall points versus the wins for the seeding, so they are at the top spot. Kevin Harvick is third. Joey Logano is fourth with a win. Eric Amarola is fifth with no wins. Seventh is Brad Keselowski with 2 wins. So should the seeding playoffs begin, you would have Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Brad Keselowski as your top 3 seeds with Joey Logano as your 4th seed, separated by points, of course. And then Kevin Harvick and Amarola would be in there. And then followed by Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney, who was knocking at the door a few times, Chase Elliott in 9th. He's been running pretty decent. Kurt Busch in 10th, Clint Bowyer 11th, Kyle Larson in 12th. Now we go to 16 for the playoffs in the Cup Series. Ricky Stenhouse in 13th, Daniel Suarez in 14th, Jimmy Johnson in 15th, and on the bubble, Eric Jones. Austin Dillon is 13 behind Jones. So he is on the outside looking in. He'd have to, there'd have to be some serious position differences for Austin Dillon to catch Eric Jones right now. But you never know. This is race number 7. We have 26 regular season races, so that puts us down with 19. And before the end of the season, so. Let's hear from someone from our winning crew, Denny Hamlin and Chris Gabehart. Joe Gibbs was in the room as well.
We will now go ahead and begin our post-race media availabilities. We are joined by Chris Gabehart, the crew chief for the number 11 FedEx Office Toyota. Congratulations, Chris. We'll go ahead and open it up, media, for some questions. Please raise your hand and we'll get to you as soon as possible. We'll start here in the front with
Hey, Jeff Gluck from Jeff. It was the no tire call today. Was that like a difficult decision to wrestle with, or was that a no-brainer?
Very difficult decision to wrestle with. That's what I'm going to say. But no, for our car and the performance and kind of everything we were seeing, it was very not necessarily track position oriented race, because we found a way to give that away a lot in the race, but minimum time on pit road and for our scenario each time it just made the most sense. Unfortunately, it worked out.
What about
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports? Are you pretty clear on the uncontrolled tire rule, or you just gotta do what you gotta do to have a fast pit stop and occasionally you'll leave it at the NASCAR's hand?
Yeah, I mean, you know, NASCAR's done a good job of making everything pretty black and white on that. Of course, in the heat of the battle, it's my job to argue our case, especially when I think it's close. And in that case, we felt like it was, but the call didn't go our way. And at that point, you got to play the ball where it lies and rebound, regroup, and Denny and the team did a good job of that.
And we are now joined by our race-winning driver, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Office Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Congratulations, Denny.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Congratulations. We'll continue with our media availabilities. If you have a question, please raise your hand.
This is about normal.
We'll go over here to Jerry and then down to the front to Dustin.
Mr. Gibbs, please. It's Jerry Fraley of the Dallas Morning News. Mr. Gibbs, do you find it all remarkable that all 7 races into the season, only 2 organizations have wins? 2 elite organizations, obviously.
Yeah, I think what happens in our sport, you know, you get on a hot streak, and then we all know in pro sports the hardest thing is to stay up there. And so I would say that some of those others are knocking on the door. I think there were some teams today that had a chance, but they made mistakes. And so I think it's just one of those things right now, but you know, we're thrilled to be a part of it, I'll tell you that, and I hope we can find a way to stay up there. But in pro sports, we all know the hardest thing is to stay up there week in and week out. You know, we got so many really good cars, many good owners, and good competitors. It's the best racing in the world.
We'll come down here to Dustin.
Dustin Wong, NBC Sports. I've got a couple of questions for Denny. First off, the speeding penalty, the uncontrolled tire. I think did you miss pit road or did you run out of fuel?
I missed pit. Well, both. We ran out of fuel. I know, it's amazing.
It was
we ran out of fuel early in the race. I passed pit road and we ran out. That cost us, I don't know, 6, 7. It was a lot. It seemed like a lot. I lost the straightaway to everybody else.
327 cars by my count, but
maybe. And then spun out, and I had to let off the brake, keep spinning out, and then I knew I wasn't going to make pit road, so I had to check up and then lose another 4 or 5 seconds under another green flag sequence, and then I was just beating my head against the steering wheel, thinking, man, we're going to finish bad with a really fast car, and we just kept digging, and Chris kept doing a good job by encouraging us that we had a long way to go, and we kept passing cars, and I think at some point we passed everyone for sure. But once we got the clean air in the front, the 20 pulled off for his pit stop, it allowed me to be more aggressive with the way I was driving, and then we made a really good adjustment there at the end that got our car better. So really the only time our car, you know, kind of struggled handling-wise was when we were in that pack of three with our teammates. And you know, had we had the balance we had earlier in the day, I felt like we could have probably got around them. But certainly we were we had a great car all day, just a bunch of hiccups in the middle of it, and we just were fast enough to overcome everything that, you know, kind of got thrown at us.
Obviously, this rules package was one of the intentions was to kind of close the gap with the field, to keep the field closer at time. You know, the leader didn't get way out of the way. Without this rules package, do you win this race with the penalties and issues playing out?
I'm not sure. I mean, as fast as our car was, I mean, maybe, maybe not. But certainly, you know, our car was really reliant on drafting, you know, having somebody in front of me to run fast lap times. But once I thought we were able to pull away as good as anyone from the pack, that just told me how fast our car was. You know, I was able to drive it more aggressively. And then from that point on, I really thought I figured something out inside the car that made me be able to be more aggressive even in traffic than what I was earlier in the day. Yeah, I don't know. It's so different now. I mean, it is so, so different. You know, you when you go to these racetracks, you can't look at past winners and past trends and history. All that stuff is just no good anymore. You got to just start from scratch, and we're all learning together.
Ready to go over to...
There you have Denny Hamlin, Joe Gibbs, and... Sorry I didn't bleep out the S word, but that happens. Anyway, in the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series are at Bristol. Trucks have the week off. NHRA will be back in action as well. So lots of racing this coming weekend. Hope you all catch it. As a matter of fact, the NHRA will be out in Las Vegas for the 4-Wide Nationals West. So that ought to be a fun one. And back in my neck of the woods would be the Cup Series and the Xfinity at the world's fastest half mile, Bristol. So let's look at who we're going to look at here. So who led the most laps? Well, three people led over 100 laps. Ryan Blaney, Clint Bowyer, and Chase Elliott. But the winner was Kurt Busch in a Ford. And the other two were in Fords. Kyle Larson was second in a Chevy, Chase Elliott in a Chevy. So that being that, last time Kyle Larson led 200 laps in this race last year, the day race. And Kyle Busch won the race leading 117 laps. So while I like Kyle Larson, he only led 17 laps, and Kurt Busch led. What did Kyle Busch do last year in the night race? Not so good. He finished 3 laps down. So it's either going to be Chase Elliott or Kyle Larson. Seemed to have been the most consistent. So you know what? We'll go with the 42, Kyle Larson. Anyway, hope you enjoyed today's show. Special thanks to Lexi Gay Nice young lady, 18 years old. Glad to have her on. Hope she'll come back. I think she might. So, we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. See you at noon. Clear.